Just before the episode begins, here's a reminder that we are on a website called On Podium, where you can find all our episodes, you can find blogs, you can register to become a guest, you can write reviews, you can subscribe from there, including our videos, which go onto YouTube. You can even donate if you want to support us. And what's the address, Nick?
So it's 2-5-1.onpodium.co.
On to the episode.
Hello, welcome to 251, two pianists, 5 minutes, one subject. Today we're going to be talking about the jazz writing of the poet Philip Larkin. My name's Nick Tomlin.
My name's Simon Whiteside, and this is 251. Philip Larkin obviously was a very well-known British poet. And I remember when I was working first in, I just left college, I worked for Waterstones Bookshop. Other bookshops are available, as they would say on the BBC. And someone said to me, "Oh, do you know Philip Larkin's jazz criticism?" And I said, "No." So I ordered that book in for the music section that I was running and had a quick look at it and thought, "Oh, perhaps Nick will elaborate on why I may have said."
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar experience, but I mean, I sort of read it when I was kind of getting into jazz, and I remember it was in our local library, and I thought, "Oh, it's interesting, you know, book of jazz criticism." And I had the similar sort of reaction to you, really, because I think, you know, criticism is the word, really, that I mean, the thing is, Philip Larkin loved traditional jazz. I mean, he really did. He really loved it, really up to and including swing. I mean, I think, you know, until the swing period. But there's a big but here. He really struggled with anything that we would consider modern. I mean, as in, that's really bebop and onwards, really. Yeah. He really struggled with. And it's interesting that he wrote a very good introduction in the book, and he actually explains why. And he has quite a sort of philosophy about this. And I think what he did, he kind of lumped it in a way with kind of modern art. He had trouble with modern art itself, really. And in a way, you know, the modernist movements, people like Picasso, Ezra Pound. And there's a quote by him. He said he disliked these new modern innovations, not because they're new, but because they're irresponsible exploitations of technique in contradiction of human life as we know it. So typically direct. direct. Mm. But so what he's sort of saying there, the way I understand it, is that what he disapproved of was the kind of the celebration of technique over the kind of the more human aspects. That's the way he said. I'm not saying that's a description of modernism, but that was what he had problems with. I think part of what he had problems with.
I think in many ways he was a classic conservative, yes, with a small C, yes, which was, yeah, that everything in the past was good, everything in the future is going to be bad.
Yes,
and
yes,
some of his poems deal with those, yes, issues, don't,
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
And I also think that he does have a good point. He does make his point well, and he has a point that's worth thinking about.
Mm.
But also, when you look back at it, you realise how there are mistakes made.
Yeah,
and
I
just
agree.
Like now, when there are things that happen, and everyone goes, "Oh, that's not very good," or it's all everyone's jumping on the bandwagon, blah blah blah. Mm. The people who jump on the bandwagon often fade, and the people who painted the bandwagon and put the wheels on are the people who stay. So Rothko, the colour field artists of the 50s, the people who actually have remained, there are plenty of other painters doing similar stuff that haven't remained.
Mm.
And sometimes that's because of they're not very good, and sometimes it's because they were a woman, like Helen Frankenthaler is less famous.
Sure, sure.
And maybe should be more as famous as those other people. But,
yeah. Although, to be honest, Philip Larkin, he also criticised, I mean, he criticised everybody involved in, so in as much as, I mean, I've got a couple of, I'll just have to read a couple of quotes. So he said, "I still can't imagine how anyone can listen to a Coltrane record for pleasure." He said, "If Charlie Parker sounds a less filthy racket today than he did in 1950, that's only because much filthier rackets succeeded him." And then one more general, the adjective modern, when applied to any branch of art, means designed to evoke incomprehension anger, boredom, or laughter. So that was kind of where he was coming from with it, really. But I think you're right. I think it's a misunderstanding of jazz in a way, and also the way that there wasn't really a break. I mean, bebop came out of swing. It wasn't like there was this distinction. But I think also he wasn't really a musician, so he couldn't. I think it was quite superficial in a way, his grasp of jazz. That's what I feel.
I think he liked what he knew, and he knew what he liked.
Yeah.
So Philip Larkin, if you like trad jazz, he's your man. If you like modern jazz, maybe not. Goodbye from Simon Whiteside.
My name's Tom Lynn. Goodbye.